welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. It's nice to see so many people out on such a beautiful day, so thank you all for being with us. Just a couple announcements this morning. The good news is there really aren't that many. Everything that you can see in the bulletin, please read and take notice of. Specifically, the two inserts. One insert is for the Shop for a Cause. BJ is here today, and every ticket that she sells for $5, the entire $5 comes back to the church, and it gets you a 25% discount coupon for shopping at Macy's on the 24th, so please support that. Also support the Deacon's back-to-school supply drive. The insert that you have in the bulletin for that talks about the supplies that we need to build back-to-school supply kits for some local children as they go back to school, so please take care of that. As I said, any other announcements, you can please just read and take note. There's a Deacon's Coat Drive. Please mark your calendars for the Deacon's Pig Roast Fellowship on the 15th. That will be with National Return to Church Day and our Back to School, Back to Sunday School rally. So please mark your calendars for that. And also, please note that the deacons are collecting produce for the first Tuesdays of the month for the food bank. So take note of that announcement as well. I'd like to take a moment to welcome our minister this morning, Terry Stoops. Terry is from Gibsonia. He has had pastorships in several churches, but one most known to us is Elfin Wild, where he served two terms, I think, and was the youth pastor when I was a youth. So neither one of us will tell you when that was. But we welcome Terry and his wife, Janet, to be with us this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with singing. Let us join and sing our opening hymn, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, number 59. Thank you. Let us join in the prayer of confession. Dear God of compassion, we give thanks for your patience and grace. We struggle to be your faithful stewards, but often we fall short, interrupted by worldly temptations. Forgive us when we let pride or insecurities stand in our way. Remind us to be guided in word and deed by love and humility. Forgive our focus on ourselves, whether self-absorption or self-destruction, and turn our eyes and efforts to those around us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
With Christians around the world, let us join in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as is typical, I forgot an announcement. So before we greet God's family, if anyone has seen the silver pitcher and the silver chalice that we use for communion, they were cleaned, and sometime between the cleaning and the return to their rightful home, they didn't make it back to their rightful home. So if someone has seen them or accidentally picked them up thinking they were something else, please speak to any one of the deacons. Let us know that you have them and you've recovered them. Let us greet God's family.
Boy, this church loves to talk, don't they? I just have a slight announcement I'd like to make before I say this morning. I want to thank you for all the cards and everything that have been sent to me over the last few weeks, my knee surgery, and which everybody can see, I am not living anymore. About these glasses I have. These were my work glasses, my safety glasses, what they are from work. And I needed them yesterday because Mickey was poking at me. And so I needed these safety glasses. And it wasn't until this morning that I realized that I know the song by heart, so I don't even need glasses for the music. So, but to the people of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, you really are the good gifts that I experienced in my life. It's always been that way. Whenever someone is sick or something, this congregation, these
And I can say thank you, Lord, for John and his singing without need of his glasses. How's that sound? When you get to be my age, John, what you do is you not only need your glasses, but then you have to, if you wrote it, it's still doubly hard to see. So that's where I am. So it's nice to be here. It's been a long time since I've been back in Glenshaw Valley Church, and it's just a nice occasion to return, and I appreciate being invited very, very much, Artie, too. So this is responsive reading. Would you turn to the back of your hymn book and turn to hymn number 678, and let's read responsively. Number 678. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord.
The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him.
You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
For he will love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the acts of others do the same.
And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?
You hear
What man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone?
Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We know that in everything God works for good with those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose.
For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified.
Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving.
Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Boy, and if you can say that you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Prayer and praise requests. Now, who's coming up? You're coming up? Yeah.
Praise the Lord, I have great news. I have no prayer requests today. So that means the Lord is doing His work very well here in Glenshaw Valley and among our family. I do ask that you keep in mind and keep in your prayers those listed in the bulletin and those listed in the valley. And I also ask that we pray for Leonard that he have a safe, relaxing, and enjoyable vacation while he's away. Thanks.
May I pray? Father, sometimes we don't fill out a card for a prayer request. But each and every one of us realizes that there's someone we know in our hearts and in our minds, in our family, in our friendships, that we need to pray for. So we want to take a moment, Lord, just to say a prayer for those special people who have made us who we are, and how we love and respect them, and we lift them up to prayer now, very quietly and in your stead. Heavenly Father, we do turn to you because we invite you into our worship service. I want to say thank you for this congregation, for her long history, for her long service, for her faithfulness to you as a part of the kingdom of God. I want to say thank you for her pastor, for guiding and giving him the opportunity to be away and enjoying a vacation time this summertime. Ask, O Lord, your presence with everyone here this morning. And for those who have come back from, say, problems, we want to say thank you and rejoice in their ways and in their presence, because you've helped bring them along on their road to recovery. I want to say thank you, Lord, for those unable to be here, and wherever they are, whatever they're going through this morning, we pray for your presence there with them too. Thank you, Lord, for being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and for calling us into the care and compassion that you have shared with us in Jesus Christ, and yet we share with one another. Thank you for that opportunity to care for one another, to take them to you in prayer, and to realize that in your wonderful grace and wisdom, that you can be a part of all of our lives and perform the miracles in our lives that keep us going, overcoming barriers, but beyond the obstacles of living that are there, into the grace and the life and the joy of being in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we want to say thank you, Lord, for this Sunday morning. We confess anew our sins, and even as we think, man, we don't have that many sins or they're not that bad, we know that when you've called us to be like you, to love in your ways in your stead, that we have really fallen short of the glory of God. And so we take a moment just to say and ask for God's forgiveness in the lifetimes that we have not measured up to your yardstick of living. Within our lives, Lord, we want to say thank you for life itself, for being there for us each and every day of our life, for our commitment to serve you, to be a part of the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ and be a part of the fellowship of this church. We pray, O Lord, for our world that we live in, for the leaders that we have in this country and throughout our world. Ask, O Lord, that truly it's only going to be by your grace that people enjoy peace between one another, between races, between countries, between leaders. And ask that in so many wonderful ways that you might surround those leaders with wisdom and peace and understanding of your will and your way. And so we would rejoice this morning, being drawn into worship, to say thank you, Lord, for this past week, for this day, for this week, and for your presence in who we are and how we're called to be a part of your kingdom always. Turn to you now in the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I assume the hymn that we're going to sing is number 41, and we remain seated since there's no asterisk, right? So you be seated. We'll sing together number 41.
Thank you.
most difficult part of a service when you come in as a substitute or a stated supply, is what I'm doing this morning, is how do we do the offering? I remember being in a church in South Hills one day, and the choir sang an anthem, and I loved it, sang right with them. Then I got up and I asked for the offering to come up, and they'd already done it during the anthem. So I figured that wasn't too good. So could we please present ourselves for the offering this morning? Next, I always think it's nice to go into a congregation, and after 47, 48 years of ministry, I get used to doing things with people, and I notice that there are some congregations that always have the sermon before the offering, and they always say if it's a good sermon, it's going to be a good offering. And in this congregation, I see that you have the offering before the sermon. So I don't have to worry about that, you know, at all. So that's a good thing. Scripture taken from Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. What a marvelous, wonderful collection of teachings of Jesus to the crowds. We're not sure historically. I know they say, and we have seen in Israel, where, you know, the Sermon on the Mount took place. And it's like a little bowl along the Sea of Galilee, and it could hold a lot of people. But whether they were all delivered there or not, it doesn't matter. They were collected, and this is called the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to go to chapter 5. Oh, it's a difficult scripture reading. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 41. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your outer coat as well. tough to be a Christian, isn't it? That's very difficult for us to do. And if we're supposed to listen to the words of Jesus Christ and use him as a pattern in our life, I'll tell you what, not easy just to do those kind of things. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That's what I want to preach on today. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, you go with him 2 miles. Give to him who begs from you, and do not refuse him who would borrow from you. Difficult words for us in our world today, I'll tell you what. A couple months ago, we were in Sarasota, Florida. Every day there was an article, half of a page, that said all of those who were begging on street corners, don't give to them, because they were doing it for their own selves. That was difficult for us to accept, because we gave. Veterans, they said, dressed in army uniforms, some people that were young, some people that were old, and they had needs. Our upbringing and our teaching is to go a little bit beyond ourselves and to share what we've been blessed with others. And the papers said, and the police said, don't do it. It's causing problems. That was hard for us to understand. Well, let me pray. Gracious and loving Father, walk with us, especially now as you speak to us during this time of listening to your words from Jesus Christ as a pattern of living for who we are, where we're going on the journey of life. Pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen. I was at Elfenwald twice. Once as a youth pastor, some of you remember that. A long time ago, that age is, puts your age in a proper category, if you remember that. Then I was gone for 22 years to work in West Virginia, and then was coming back into the area, and Elfenwald heard I was coming back and said, you want to come back? And I said, are you sure? You know, don't you, have you forgotten everything, you know, that you want me? And I served 4 more years there, and they were very gracious and loving to me. But the first time I left, there was a man who came to me, and he said, Terry, he said, I want to tell you something. I was there 11 and a half years, and about 10 years ago, you preached a sermon. Told me the title of the sermon, and I remembered the title of the sermon. And he said, because of that sermon, I changed jobs. I thought, oh my goodness. Because of something I said, you changed jobs from being an employee to an employer? Yep. And he was very successful. And I thought to myself that God works through us, if we let him, in ways that we can't even imagine, that we cannot even plan for. And for all of these years in ministry of doing things with all kinds of ages of people, I've learned one thing, is that God goes beyond any expectations or any plans or any imaginations that I could ever plan for them. He takes that as a starting point and goes beyond what I could ever hope for them as possible in their life. So when this man said to me, Terry, I changed job, I believe it. I believe that that was God speaking through that service in me to him. He said, do you remember the story you told? And told me the story. And I thought, I don't remember saying that. And if God talks to us, he doesn't always use the words. He uses his own words and his actions and how he relates to us. Just think upon that for a second. If God works through this worship service, boy, is it good to be here today. It is so good because we believe in a person who takes such good care of us. He even knows what's best for us, tries to tell us but sometimes that's a little hard to do. I go to a story of a salesman who was a very successful salesman, and he said something very interesting. The difference between an average person and a top salesman could best be explained in these three words: and then some. And then some, he discovered very early in his career. Let me quote. The top people did what was expected of them, and then some. They were thoughtful of others. They were considerate and kind, and then some. They met their obligations and responsibilities fairly and squarely, and then some. They could be counted on in an emergency, and then some. The difference between the average and the top or exceptional salesman was the willingness to go beyond the normal, to never be satisfied with the common, to go a second or a third or a fourth mile, or whatever needed to be done to make sure that that mission was complete, that job was successful, or that sale was consummated. God gives us promises to do something with our lives that are beyond anything that we could perceive in our thoughtfulness and planning. You know something? I really think that this is the genius of Christianity. If you stop and think about it, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of God, that God's power and his guidance takes us beyond the ordinary to go into the extraordinary, that God's Spirit would teach us how to live a life and the Christian faith, and life is immeasurably beyond anything that we could ever imagine or plan for by ourselves, that we need God's hope and vision to take us around a corner or over barriers or through traps, to handle frustrations and setbacks, to be able to spring up and back in life. We are blessed by a God who gives us so immeasurably more than the little requests that we make of him. 48 years of living in ministry, I could give you example after example after example of people who have excelled because they literally surrendered their lives to God in Christ who loves them. And Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, you go ahead and do it. That's why I don't think that this man who came to me and said, Terry, because of a sermon you preached, I changed jobs. I think that's the ordinary of the way God works, beyond anything that I would have ever planned for or thought possible in my life. God gives us a wonderful grace, doesn't he? Some time ago, two old friends met in the South for breakfast at a local diner. One who was from the North, you know what he ordered for breakfast? Ham and eggs. And after being served, he pointed to his plate and said, "What's that on my plate?" And the server replied, "Grits." "I didn't order grits," replied the Northerner. To which his southern friend replied, "You don't order grits. They just come with the meal." I think there's a real theological insight into those grits. We don't order grace, it just comes. It's a part of who we are. of our relationship with our God. It's what the salesman would say, this is the, and then some, in our Christian life. I believe that in the most wonderful, marvelous way. I have seen it work in that wonderful way too. There was a man who died, went to heaven, went up to the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, well, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, I'll open the gates and let you in. Okay, the man said, I was married for 50 years to a wonderful woman, never cheated on her, even in my heart. Oh, that's wonderful, said St. Peter. 3 points. Well, I attended church all my life, supported its ministry with my tithes and with my service. Woo, terrific, says St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point. I started the soup kitchen in my city, and I worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic, St. Peter said. Well, that's 2 more points. Exasperated, the man cries, at this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. St. Peter said, 100 points, come on in. God's grace takes care of us in ways that you and I can't even imagine or even plan for. Well, I like what it says in, again, Matthew. This is the 6th chapter. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What things? Things like this. Love. The measure of one's love will be given to us in multiple, multiple amounts. Forgiveness granted will be forgiveness received. In short, the measure that you give will be the measure plus you will receive. God's love for us in Jesus Christ is an extraordinary thing. He goes beyond the ordinary. He has been a part of our life, given to us by God as his Son, to give us the and then some of God's grace in our life. I think to experience the true potential of God's grace in each of us, and to enjoy the pleasure of God's company and our fellowship that exists in Christ together. It's the challenge of the and then some that we reflect upon in our life, of where you and I can go. Oh, just a couple little things to close out, if I might. The first thing you have to do is you have to say, I have to believe. God's power and presence in our lives is a special ordering of power in who we are. Our security is not in the technological advances, which are going on unbelievable now, nor in the material accumulations that we have, nor in our own selfishness, but it is in the power of God that sends us beyond the ordinary into the extraordinary. What do you call it? The and then some in our life. I used to laugh, living 22 years in Weirton, West Virginia. We were in a valley. Church was in a valley, and we lived on top of a hill, one of the hills. I can remember it snowed. I took my blower out on a Sunday morning, and of course I got all the snow off, and I might as well go down and help the custodian out, because it's going to be really big downtown Weirton. So I threw the snow blower in the car, went down a mile and a half of the hill, and got to the church. No snow. I couldn't believe it. I'd always heard that Weirton Steel provided a thermal bubble over Weirton. And it worked. There was no snow downtown, even though the snow that was up on my house on the mountain hill above Weirton, I had loads of snow. That's how God protects us and takes care of us when we let him. I think of that thermal bubble that is there that kept a lot of snow out of our lives. What a learning experience to go through. Secondly, Christopher Columbus. Oh, you know who he is, don't you? Yeah. Started out on a voyage, and he had a map. And at the edge of the world of that map, these words were written: nothing beyond here. Nothing beyond here. In God's working in our lives, sometimes we place limits, like nothing beyond here, of what he can do with us. You see, our God charters a course for us that takes us wherever we want to go. And we could not go without him. Well, this week, think about your life. Let go. And let God in Christ take control. How about living your life and then some? May I pray? Oh, gracious God, you walk with us in everything that we do, and we want to say how grateful we are for that, because we stumble, we falter, we use excuses, and we turn you down sometimes. And ask that you can always create within us the ability to take us beyond ourselves. Prove to us the end then some of who we are and how we can live. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible, including the end then sums in our life. Pray these things in his name now. Amen. Well, let's stand and we'll sing the hymn of response, number 29. Thank you. But I also want to remind you that this week, learn to give the minute the advance on. Receive the benediction and now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you without blemish before his presence with rejoicing. Walk with us in the name of Jesus Christ, that our life might go beyond immeasurable anything that we could ever dream possible. This is our prayer. This is who we are. And this is how we can serve you. In his name I pray now.